My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He's also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. He has joined us a number of times to talk about what he sees as the great need to expand U.S. energy production, specifically off the Gulf Coast, which is close to his home, but also in other parts of the country, including Outer Continental Shelf and up in Alaska. It's in the latter location that there is more scrutiny of the Obama administration this week, as once again, an effort to open up the National Petroleum Reserve has been halved to 11.5 million acres from what could have been 23.5 million acres. And it's not what the state of Alaska wanted, and it's not what most people in favor of domestic U.S. energy wanted. And, Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure, Greg. Good to be with you.
This decision actually came down in August, but we see that all three federal lawmakers from Alaska are opposed to what happened here, including a Democratic senator. So it's not just a partisan issue here.
Right.
What do you see what happened with this reserve and essentially leaving 50% of it off limits to exploration as reflecting in Obama's energy policy?
Well, unfortunately, this is very much par for the course. This fits into a much broader pattern, and that is to back off all of the enormous and exciting opportunities we have for domestic energy production. I'll give you another example that just happens to match that 50% cut. You know, under federal law, every administration has to develop a five-year lease plan for the Outer Continental Shelf. The current Obama plan is half as much as the previous plan. So it, too, cut in half the previous plan for developing energy on our Outer Continental Shelf. It cut it in half, just like this separate decision in Alaska. So I think the big picture and the big message is that this is a clear pattern, and we're moving in the wrong direction under President Obama with regard to developing these domestic resources.
Here's the quote from the Interior Secretary Ken Salazar in the Wall Street Journal piece, quote, the plan will help the industry bring energy safely to market from this remote location while also protecting wildlife and subsistence rights of Alaskan natives. He says the proposal will expand, quote, safe and responsible oil and gas development and builds on our efforts to help companies develop the infrastructure that's needed to bring supplies online. So he seems to contend that there's an ecological issue here, but at the same time, he seems to think this is a huge boon to the industry.
Well, Greg, I don't know anyone else who thinks that. Start with folks who actually live in Alaska. You know, they value their land more than any of us do. They live there. That's their daily lives. And all of them that I know are tremendous conservationists and outdoorsmen. And consistently, they are against this decision. As you mentioned, all three of the federal statewide officials, including a Democrat, are completely against this. In terms of the industry being for it, again, I think that's laughable. I don't know anyone in the industry who has reacted to this by saying anything but that it's a setback. It's moving in the wrong direction.
Another thing that the piece points out is that some people might look at this and say, well, 11.5 million acres, it's not as big as it could have been, but it's still a pretty big chunk of land, and that can help to produce quite a bit of domestic energy.
Right.
But the piece goes on to point out that even with that remaining land, 11.5 million acres, now the lawsuits start with people asking Congress to rename the land in order to help preserve it from energy exploration at all. So how does that get unpacked?
Well, that article and other folks who say that are exactly right. This isn't the end of the road. This isn't as if we're even beginning to produce energy on that portion of it tomorrow. That's nowhere in sight. We have a long way to go and a lot of litigation to even get to that. So we need to do better in this country. In general, we have enormous opportunity in this country. We're actually the single most energy-rich country in the world, bar none. The problem is we take well over 90% of those resources and put them off limits, like we're doing here, and say, no, 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 no. We need to change that and have a true yes-we-can domestic energy policy.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, you in the past, I know you teamed with former Congressman Shadegg on this, to basically focus on creating energy jobs that would not only make us more energy independent, but also spark the economy. Obviously, it's been sluggish.
Yes.
Now Mitt Romney has made that point number one in his five-point plan to turn the economy around. Just how ambitious do you think he's being, and do you think he's being realistic, and that will be a major cog in creating potentially 12 million new jobs?
Well, with many, many others, I've lobbied Governor Romney over the last year, really, about domestic energy policy. And I do think, having stepped through many of those conversations and meetings, that he gets it and he sees the enormous potential, including the jobs potential. We're not just talking about energy and energy independence, and Lord knows that's important enough on its own. Just look at all the turmoil in the Middle East and the vulnerability it puts on us. But it's jobs. It's great jobs, great American jobs, high-paying jobs, and jobs which can't be outsourced by definition. You can't develop domestic U.S. energy from China or India. And third, it's even deficit and debt reduction, because federal revenue off energy production is a significant source of federal revenue, the biggest source, second only to the federal income tax. So it's a win-win-win, and it could be a tremendous boost to our economy.
But even if he ends up winning and ends up pursuing this in an aggressive way, does he not ultimately run into the same thing we just mentioned with Alaska, where even if he does pursue greater domestic exploration, the lawsuits come in, and then how much actually gets done?
Well, that's always an obstacle. We need to work through that. I'm also advancing legislation to streamline that. Now, look, there should be opportunity to challenge things legitimately in court, but we have a system now that isn't about legitimate challenge. It's about endless delay. And that's not fair, particularly when, to the extent the federal government ever settles these cases with the environmental left, there's actually money that comes into the environmental left to continue to fund this effort, taxpayer funds. So we need reform in that area.
We're, again, talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, you and I have talked a lot, especially in the wake of the BP disaster in 2010, about the moratorium that was placed on, the federal court ordering it be lifted, the administration essentially ignoring it.
Right.
And we've talked since then about your efforts and others to expand it. What's the latest on your efforts to get the administration to relent there?
Well, it's been a long road, and we've made some gains, but it's been very, very slow, inch by inch. You know, Gulf activity is crawling back. It's still well below where it was before the BP disaster. Lots of big rigs have left. And when one of these giant rigs moves to Africa or South America or the Middle East, it's not coming back in 3 months. You know, it's there for years. So that has happened. We're still trying to inch back to where we were in terms of levels of activity before the BP disaster, but we're not there yet. Now, it's a situation like what we're talking about in Alaska. We live here. Nobody values the ecosystem of the Gulf Coast more than the residents who live here and fish and raise their families here, enjoy all of that wonderful outdoors. So we're not for crashing that in any way, shape, or form, but we know there can be a reasonable balance, and this administration has not been about balance at all.
Last question, Senator. We've obviously explained how this is tied to the economic condition the country is facing right now, but in terms of the larger presidential debate, do you feel like this issue is getting the oxygen you believe it needs, or is it still a little bit behind the eight ball here?
I'd always love for it to be more in the center of our debate about the economy, because it's an economic game changer. I'm certainly going to tune in tonight to the second debate, and I hope Governor Romney continues to aggressively highlight this energy sector as a key to job growth and economic success.
Senator, we'll have to leave it there. We'll be watching the debate as well. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Greg.
David Vitter, Republican Senator from Louisiana, member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.